God from Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day to you. My boys gave me some money for Father's Day and told me to buy something to make my life easier. So I went and bought Melinda a present. There was a fellow went to the fair and he won a prize at one of those games, you know, but he had five kids and he didn't know what to do with this prize. And so he said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have a little, we'll vote on it. And so who is the most obedient, who is the most helpful to mom and always does what she says? And the kid said, okay, Dad, just keep the present then. This morning we're talking, the question is, how do we pray when it's hard? And you know, prayer is one of those things that is kind of a mystery to us anyway, even when it's not hard. Prayer is confusing and you know, it tends to produce more guilt than it does comfort for some of us. There are some people who pray and they love it, and, you know, they really make this connection with God, which is what I think it is about. But for a lot of us, we struggle with this idea of talking to someone who's invisible and who doesn't really talk back to us. That, you know, we tend to think we ought to be doing something productive. I mean, how many times have we heard somebody say, well, all I can do is pray, as if that's no big deal and really doesn't make a difference. But when we read the scripture, what we find is that God makes all these promises and these commands to us about prayer. And I was thinking about this. I think it's kind of like when I call our son in Ohio who has two grandkids, and I say, come on down and visit. We'll feed you. We'll put you up. We'll take you out to eat. We'll babysit the kids. You can go out and do whatever you want to. I think that's kind of what God is doing when he commands us to pray. He's enticing us to communicate with him. He's trying to draw us in to a conversation. It's not that he's tricking us, because he really, you know, when the kids come down, we do buy the food and we give them a place to stay and we tend to the grandkids because that's what we want to do. But I think that's kind of what prayer is like for us. It's God's way of not tricking us, but inviting us to talk to him, to connect with him. And prayer is primarily about connection with God. And there are times in our life when that's really hard to do. Even for people who find prayer easy, it is difficult. Life is hard. And there are probably some folks this morning who are in a place where it's really tough to connect with God. And you know, that's strange, because that's the thing that God desires most, is connection with us. And yet sometimes we really struggle with this idea of connecting. All of us will know times, if you're not there this morning, you will be or you have been, when darkness seems closer than God does. When we struggle to find answers or to figure out what God's doing. Oswald Chambers says, God doesn't tell us what he's doing. He will never tell us what he's doing, but he will show us who he is. And that's kind of what keeps us praying in those times. There's a passage in 1 Kings. It's kind of a strange passage. It's the dedication of the temple. Solomon is the king, and they have finally completed the temple after years of building on it. They've got it finished, and they begin to use it, and he prays this prayer of dedication. And if you think about it, what would you pray if you're dedicating the temple for the first time? You're just going to start to use it. What are you going to ask God to do? He didn't talk to God about the sacrifices that are going to be made there. He didn't ask God to give them great victory over their enemies. He didn't ask God for there to be great joy and celebration or the crops to multiply. Over and over again, he asked God to hear their prayers. He begins by saying, I can't believe you're going to be here, that you would actually choose to dwell among us. But if you do, when we cry out to you day or night, hear us. And at the end of the prayer of dedication, he says, anytime your people pray or cry out to you, hear them. And in between, he lists all these different times when he wants God to hear the prayers of his people. And every one of those is a hard time. He doesn't pray that God will bless them in the good times. He asks that God will hear them, will connect with them in the hard times. When their enemies besiege them, when famine comes on them, when they're in the wrong and they've messed up, when famine or blight or mildew or locust or grasshoppers or anything comes against them, any disease or tribulation comes, God, hear your people. You know, Solomon, according to the word, was the wisest man who lived. He knew that hard times was part of it. And in those difficult times, that's when we need connection with God most. And like the question says, sometimes it's when we feel at least. It's that, and that's what we struggle with. And so when we say, how do we pray when it's hard? We're not talking about the mechanics. You know, when I can't stay awake, you know, like the disciples in the garden and Jesus invited them to come and pray with him and he goes off and prays and comes back and they're asleep three times. It was hard for them to stay awake. And to be honest, it's hard for me sometimes. Sleep is the great enemy of prayer in my life a lot. And I know some of you do the same thing. So, but what we're talking about is not the mechanics of it, but just doing it. Just getting ourselves to talk to God as if that matters, as if it makes a difference. And so Solomon asked that God will hear them in all these different difficult situations in their lives. And if you read the Psalms and the other passages, we find out that we're not alone in those times. In Psalm 77, this is not the typical prayer that we think is a great act of faith, but maybe this is a greater act of faith than anything else in Scripture. This prayer that is prayed here in Psalm 77, he says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Maybe that's a greater act of faith than when we declare his faithfulness. When we dare to speak to him, even in those times when we're not sure that he is who we thought he was. When we have the faith to continue to talk to the ceiling when the ceiling doesn't answer. Maybe the very act of saying the words, even when it doesn't feel like they mean anything, is an act of faith that God understands. And we use that phrase, you know, we pray and it doesn't get past the ceiling, and that's okay because God dwells below the ceiling. He dwells in us. And whenever we think about this idea, I think part of what we struggle with is that I don't feel connected to God. And that's okay because we want to feel connected to God. I do. I want to feel God's presence. He asks us to believe it and to trust him, and that's what we do most of the time, but I like feeling it. But when we don't feel it, he still does. God still feels connected to us, even when we don't feel connected to Him. And so we can speak to Him. I think prayer is hard when we are hurting, when circumstances have turned against us. And I think there are times in our lives when it is impossible to pray. When we have been so devastated, or when we are in such darkness that we cannot pray. I've known situations like that, when there has been a sudden or violent death, when there's been a betrayal, when there have been things that happen that we don't expect, that hit us blindsided. And that's why it's important to be in community. And so what we sign up for when we come in to this kind of family is, when you're in a situation where you can't pray, I will enter your darkness with you, and I will pray what you would pray if you could, so that you don't have to bear that burden of praying. That's part of what it means to be the family of God, that I will walk so close with you in that dark place and in that valley that I can pray in your stead, not just for you, as in praying for you by name, but for you and pray the prayers that you would pray if you could, until you get to that place where you can begin to pray again. Because there will be a time in my life when I will need you to do that for me. When I am in that darkness and in that valley where I just simply cannot raise my head. I believe that life is that difficult sometimes, and that's why we need community, and we need to be together in this. But then I think there are also those times, you know, life is just hard. And I believe that the Christian response is, life is hard, so it's hard. You can't get out of that. You can't ignore it or deny it or escape it. So life is also very, very good. It is rich with grace. We are surrounded by God's promise and by His presence. He never forsakes His children. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ. Life is hard, and there are times when we don't know how to pray or what to pray. So, that's how it is sometimes. But that's not the last word. For every Friday, Good Friday in our lives, there is an Easter Sunday. For every death, there's a resurrection. For every night, there is a morning. How do we pray when it's hard, when we're hurting and we don't know how to say the words? We say whatever words come to mind. We seek that connection with God. Sometimes yelling at God is connection with God. Sometimes being angry and like this psalmist and saying, have you just forgotten how to be compassionate? Have you just given up on all your promises? That's the connection that keeps us coming, that reminds us that God is present, that He feels connected to us when we don't feel connected to Him. And sometimes I think it's hard when we've said the same prayer over and over again and God does not answer. We get tired of waiting on someone to be healed, or for someone to be their troubles to be over, or for our own to be over. We just get tired of praying the same prayers over and over. And when that happens, that too is one of those places where we just turn our eyes toward God. Sometimes I think that's the best we can do, is just remember. The psalmists talk over and over about, I remembered what God had done. And I look again to the story of who God is and what He has done for me. And I believe that God will find a way for the light to find us. And then I think sometimes it's hard to pray just because we don't feel like we can. We've messed up, we've sinned, we've fallen, we've done what we said we would never do again, and we don't think God will hear us. And, you know, we act like we would be surprised if that happened to anybody this week. Like, nobody here's messed up this week. Nobody here did anything they shouldn't have done. None of my addictions or habits or broken places came out this week. When the reality is, that happens to us all the time, doesn't it? The reality is, even people who sit in churches mess up. And they do things they didn't want to do or shouldn't have done. And so when that happens, we begin to wonder, will God hear me when I pray? I don't deserve to be heard. And And in Solomon's prayer, over and over again, he said, Lord, hear them and forgive. And if there's one thing that God is good at, it's forgiving. And we think that that's a stretch for him, that somehow God is taxed by this need to forgive his people. And I think forgiving is the easiest thing God does. I believe that's his heart. I believe he is quicker to forgive than he is anything else. That if we are honest and we confess, that he will forgive us and cleanse us. I believe it is his nature to forgive. That he meets us and he hears us when we pray. He desires that connection with us more than we can imagine. You know, Jonah in the belly of the whale prayed. He said, you know, Lord, I have messed up. And now here I am in the depths, and you will never hear me. And you know what? The whale got sick and threw him up. How's that for forgiveness? Kind of what it feels like sometimes, but it works. Elijah had a great victory in 1 Kings later on in chapters 18 and 19. He has this great victory where he is victorious over the priest of Baal. You know, he calls down the fire. They spend all day trying to call down fire. They never can do it. He just speaks the word and God sends down fire and demonstrates his great power. He prays and rain comes after 7 years of no rain. And there's this great affirmation of Elijah. And then Jezebel hears about it and gets mad. And the next thing you find is Elijah under a tree in the wilderness praying to die. He said, I've had enough. Lord, I'd just as soon die as live for you. And God meets him. And he sends an angel and he feeds him and he helps him sleep. And he restores that connection that God desired with him. God found a way to find Elijah and Jonah and the psalmist and all those places where they wandered. There's a verse at the end of 1 Kings 8 after Solomon prays this prayer of dedication that God will meet them in every hard place in their lives, that God will hear them. Then in chapter 9, God answers. And God's answer is, my ears and my heart will be here forever. The ears and the heart of God are turned toward his people always and forever. He hears us. His connection with us never stops. Ours may feel like it stops, and that's not our fault. It's not nothing to feel guilty about. It just happens. Life is hard. Sometimes we don't feel God's presence. Sometimes we don't know what he's doing. But that doesn't change the fact that he loves us and is with us and for us. We have a responsive we're going to read together. I'll get David to pull that up for us. And then and pray this as a prayer. And this comes pretty much from Solomon's prayer of dedication. So, can I read that? Yeah. I wasn't sure there. It's small back there. It's not near as big as it is up here. Okay. Will God really dwell with us? When the skies and heavens are not large enough to hold him, will he live among us? Will he hear us when we pray in the day or in the night? When we are broken by life because of our own choices or the choices of others.
Hear our prayer, Lord.
When life is dry and there's no refreshing rain for our souls.
Hear our prayer, Lord.
When there is no bread for our bodies or spirits, if there is pestilence or blight or mildew, if we are besieged by opposition, whatever sickness may come. If we find ourselves foreigners in a strange place, alone and lonely.
Hear our prayer, Lord.
When we rise up to battle against evil and injustice, against prejudice and hate.
Hear our prayer, Lord.
When we have wandered from your grace and we are captives to habits and relationships and are far from faith, wherever we call to you. Make us objects of your compassion. Restore our souls.
Help the people to earth and help
And that's what Solomon wanted, was that the result would be that God would be honored in the world. This is not about you or about me. We're the part, a part of something much bigger than our lives. And so those hard times that come to all of us, just expect it. Life is going to be hard at times, but it is always very, very good because God's grace is pursuing us. He is relentless in His mercy. Hebrews told us to come boldly into His presence because in the time of need, we will find mercy and grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You know what life is like for us, that it is hard, that there are those times when we don't feel connected to You. I ask, Father, that You would remind us that You still are connected to us, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. I ask, Father, that this morning, that those who are here who struggle with that darkness, that if there are those among us this morning who find it hard to pray for whatever reason, that You would remind them that You are for them, that Your grace surrounds them, that You are the vine and we are the branches, that You are among us to help us, that while life is hard, it is also very, very good. We thank You again, Father, for those promises that You are enacting for Your revelation of who You are. In Jesus' name.